This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard and you're tuning into the pre-match show in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich. Joining me this week, as always, to discuss the trip for Ipswich Town to Bolton Wanderers is my good buddy Seb Brown. Seb, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Good to be here. I'm looking forward to my short jaunt on Saturday for my first in the flesh watching of McKenna Ball, as it's known as now. I watched the Wigan game, obviously, on iFollow. I follow Gillingham on the radio, but this will be the first time I've seen it in the flesh, so to speak. So I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
Is this your nearest game to your location?
In this league, yes, it probably is. Yeah, Tranmere was obviously the one that was lovely on the doorstep a couple of years ago that we went to in the January, where they've dropped down. So yeah, Bolton probably is. But to be fair, I mean, you can draw a circle with a compass of an hour radius around Chester, and I can pretty much get to a good four or five kind of game. So I'm very lucky to be up in this part of the world sometimes.
And you're allowed to cross the border, yeah? That's now allowed, is it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we did a lot of geography on the live show last night, so we'll probably leave that one there after Craig.
I usually upset someone, so let's not rake over old ground. We'll be talking about Bolton. We've got a few exciting little bits and pieces to talk about this evening. We'll be doing, I've got an ITFC Women announcement, and we've got something to direct you towards for the flagship show, which will be coming up. And we've got a few bits and pieces of news. We're gonna go with Football Room 101. But as you kind of joked on the live show midweek, which is still available, it does feel like my patience or my motivation to do it is waning somewhat because I'm on such a terrible run of form.
But you're basically Ipswich from 2019, 2020. You peaked far too early. Really cocky and you were hunted down slowly.
Yeah. But I'm also, what's even worse than that is I'm Marcus Evans. We've kind of reached the COVID break and I'm now trying to come up with a way that I don't lose out on the playoffs. Like, do a mini tournament or something like that. And then they get in the playoffs. Yeah, some nonsense like that. I am exploiting my host's power. But we do have, we've been debating another idea for a feature, which it would be quite nice to try it out. Give us some time to come up with more Room 101s. And people have been now suggesting them. They've taken pity on me and suggested them to me. And maybe we can regroup and maybe for the last few months, weeks of the season, we'll do it. But if you've got strong feelings about Room 101 and you want to keep it, let us know in the comments or tweet us at Ipswich, at BrownSO8. Let us know if you want to save Room 101. I'm tired of it, but we'll give it another go. Let's talk about some news. And we are, as we talked about last week, in respect of my Room 101 entry, it is silly season. It is transfer. January transfer window is open. It's been forcibly open. It will slam shut in a few weeks' time. And the main substantive bit of news, Seb, is Taito Enciala's departure to Fleetwood. Looks like it's going to be a permanent move, according to TWTD. At the very least, he's out of contract in the summer. We did take up a 1-year option on his previous deal earlier in the year. Yeah. But this, presumably for you, comes as no surprise, Seb.
No, and it suits all parties, doesn't it? You know, one of the guys watching on the live show last night said he was up on Merseyside negotiating a deal, so a little bit further north, and it just makes sense for everybody. You know, we need to trim the squad a little bit. We need to free up squad places and free up wage allocations, etc. Enciala, I think it's quite clear, is not going to be, you know, the kind of ball-playing centre-back that McKenna's going to want in a back three, so his future is going to be, you know, very, very limited. He has some good qualities. You know, I guess his Ipswich career will kind of be remembered as one of the her signings that, you know, went wrong, and he used to make so many mistakes. And to be fair, he sorted all that out in the last season or so, I'd say. You know, we don't look at him every time he's in a one-on-one thing, oh, here comes a red card or a penalty. So he has ironed that out of his game. But, you know, we're looking to move on as a club now. The investment's there, and we're signing the likes of George Edmondson and stuff, and I'm afraid for Toto he just doesn't fit. And it's a good move for him. He can come back up this way where he's from originally. He'll be playing, I'd imagine, you know, most weeks at Fleetwood. So it works out well for him, and it gives him that bit of security with his deal with us ending in the summer. So it makes sense for all parties, and I guess we wish him well. And then there's only Nolan and Jackson of the Hurst signing. We don't count Danasian because of his improvement, but it's just Jackson and Nolan, and I guess of the Hurst signings left to move on before that era is kind of closed off.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if they move on as well. I mean, Enciala, the trouble with his spell is, which is, as you say, we're going to remember the mistakes. I remember Loft for Words, the QPR fans, in writing a match report of the defeat where I think Gherkin flapped one in from a corner and Enciala conceded a penalty, and I think they had I think something about chasing crisp packets or something like that. And that's the trouble, is people will forget that he put in largely dependable performances. But yeah, it's the mistakes, isn't it? And as you say, better quality of centre back on the ball is what we need. So yeah, no surprises there. And the other bit of business, which was definitely talked about on the Wednesday live show, which we'll put a link up for in the top right-hand corner if you're watching on YouTube, this kind of situation with Christian Walton's recall. We obviously know that's the situation. We now know that Brighton are going to have activated that, and we get a seven-day notice, which is a courtesy, which allows him to play against Bolton. But Seb, you guys were talking about it. As we said, it's kind of really critical for us that we get that deal done, isn't it?
It is, but I am worried about it. Not so much for the fee, because that won't be so high, given he's only got 6 months left in his contract. But as we discussed last night, you know, me, Craig and Ben were saying he's on a Premier League contract. You know, there's numbers mooted around and stuff on social media and on the forums. And if you're paying half of that, then that's going to be up there with our top earners. So, you know, as much as it's important to do a deal, I guess we can't overstretch ourselves with the salary management cap protocol rules in place. And it would be absolutely amazing to keep him. I guess if there's no interest, could he come back on loan at the end of the window if he doesn't go anywhere else? I don't know. McKenna does seem a little bit confident today. So, you know, maybe they could look to do something with a promotion bonus or a signing on bonus to make up the wage deficit. But, you know, he's been absolutely crucial for us since he joined. Bolton game aside, as we'll come on and talk about Bolton in a minute, but that Bolton debut aside, where he conceded 5, he's just been so solid at the back, and he's one of those players you can hang your hat on and say, you know, I know I'm going to get a solid 7-8 out of 10. He's producing really, really big saves from us, and he will be really, really missed if he goes back.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then maybe McKenna's optimism is related to noises the player's making about possibly helping us figure something out. But obviously he's a loanee, we're subject to whatever Brighton want to do about that situation, so we keep our fingers crossed. In the very least, he will be in the team. I would expect him to start against Bolton on the weekend. Other bits and pieces of news, just to whistle through stuff. James Norwood has been voted December's PFA Virtue Motors League One Fans Player of the Month. That's a great sponsor there, Virtue Motors, Seb. A good reward for Norwood's form since coming back into the team, though, under John McGreal. There's two things kind of we need to say thank you to John McGreal for. One is the 3-5-2, the other is James Norwood's form.
Yeah, and Kieran Dyer, I guess, deserves big credit as well, because he came out afterwards and said, he said, you know, he was keeping me going when I was in the under-23s and training with the kids and stuff. So, yeah, fully deserved. You know, he's come back in. Was it Wigan, the first team he scored against, and then Sunderland, and then the two in the last two games? And he's just added a different dimension to our attack. You know, he kind of seems more tactically disciplined, I guess I would say, rather than maybe what we've seen in the past. When he was against Wickham out on that left-hand role, I was quite impressed with him in terms of, you know, what he was doing and the shift he was putting in. And you know, if he stays in this kind of rich vein of form, then we can only benefit from that. And it is fully deserved, because, you know, it was a period when Bond's goals had dried up. Piggott hasn't really settled yet. You know, Jackson gets the odd minute every five or six games. So to have somebody come in like Norwood, who's proven at this level and, you know, has that kind of, I guess what we call the dark arts and the streetwise nature that you sometimes need at this level, it's pretty deserved for him and really, really well done. And he's made us all eat humble pie, hasn't he? Because we all kind of assumed he was gone. You know, we had the story saying he was transfer listed and he didn't fit in with the hierarchy, etc. And then Paul Cook comes out and says, you know, my hands are tied, etc. And it's just, yeah, it's a great return for him. Really happy for him. You can think what you want about his off-field antics and stuff, but on the pitch, I think he definitely is an asset, and hopefully he'll stay fit and contribute for that second half of the season.
Yeah, McKenna's been quite given him high praise for his attitude and his mindset, which is obviously a positive as well. So if he's going to knuckle down to work, which it seems like he's doing, and Kieran Dyer I'm blitzing books at the moment. I've finished the Mariner book and I finished the Kieran Dyer book, having only really started it and then put it down. And Kieran Dyer knows what it's like to be at the kind of similar age to Norwood and then have the career kind of taken away from you due to injuries and all that kind of stuff, and the attitude you need to look after yourself. And so Dyer's obviously, hopefully, given him some of that wisdom that he's gleaned through the unfortunate way that his career ended at West Ham and then Middlesbrough and so on. So, it's good news there and well-earned, and good to see that he's getting back in from our support as well, because that's not always been the case either. Finally, in the news, ICFC women looking to bounce back after two games now without a win. They drew with Portsmouth last time out, 1-1 draw, goal in each half. But Seb, you'd class yourself as an armchair ITFC women supporter, wouldn't you? You know that the opposition hands they are. If you're looking for a win and a boost, then it's a good time to play them, isn't it?
Yeah, played 10, haven't won a single game all season. Are they 0 points right at the bottom of the league? And isn't their goal difference in the minus 40s or something?
Minus 45, yeah.
Yeah, so a great chance for them to get back on track. Obviously, you know, the Oxford result and the Portsmouth result dripped away a little bit after that fantastic win away at Southampton. So this is a real chance for them to really get back on form and look to build momentum for the second half of the season. And it's all building, isn't it, to that Southampton game in, is it April, I assume? It's second from last game of the season, isn't it? So everything is building to there and you know, get yourself along to the Gold Star on Sunday. I'm sure you'll detail what all the various ticket options and stuff are. Get yourselves down there. And I'm hoping to make my ITFC women debut. That sounds wrong. Viewing debut.
You're not going
to
play.
No, viewing debut. Hopefully the next couple of weeks or so.
Grand. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, we're a survivor for an adult and any under 16s accompanied by an adult getting free. Otherwise, True Blue. Kieran's obviously mentioned that a few times he's been on. Go on the website and check that out. But you can make a £5 donation and you get free entry to all the home matches, so that's definitely worth doing that. Also worth mentioning, we'll have some bits and pieces on our socials on Friday. So this comes out on Friday, so it should be out depending when you listen to this, unless you're an early riser, and hello to the early risers listening first thing. But we have another sponsorship arrangement to announce later on today, or already today, depending where, I need to stop that. We've obviously very proud to sponsor Abby Lafayette, who we've spoken to. That interview is available on the on our podcast feed and our YouTube feed, and we are doing another sponsorship, but this time rather than it be the podcast, I put a tweet out and asked for any one of our subscribers or followers, and a group of about 10 are all contributing. Blue Monday will then make up the difference for the sponsorship, and we'll kind of do it as a Friends of Blue Monday sponsorship arrangement. So really excited about that, really proud of the people involved, and we'll give them their credit and their names as much as we can. And if it's something that you're interested in joining in, I know that we didn't make a big song and dance bit because I think we probably just wanted to test the concept with a view to do something next season. If that's the kind of thing you're interested in, then let me know at It's Rich or bluemondayitfc@gmail.com. And we'll happily consider in that. We haven't really figured out what, but Theo and Bennyworth at ITFC, we need to give him a massive pat on the back. He's I think he's Academy Sponsorship Manager. I think that's his job title, but he does lots of different things. Has found a really good plan for us, a good package for us, as well as obviously the perk of sponsoring a player, which is great. And hopefully we'll get to speak to her in a few weeks time. But yeah, Theo's been really helpful in trying to make something work for us. So anyway, more details on the sponsorship coming up. And if you want to get involved in whatever we do next season, let me know. There we go. I'm trying to find a segue into Saturday, but I can't. So I'm just going to make our little ooey ooey noise. And it's a team that we always like to talk about, Seb. I've got the, you know, the 99... Well, I guess it's the 97-99 away shirt here, the Marcus Stewart double.
And then I've got the 5-0 from the first season down in this season. I think Norwood got two, Jackson got two. But to be fair, it was against their children, wasn't it?
Is it? I don't want to call you out on this.
Is this the first one down, isn't it?
That's the 17-18.
Oh, yeah, it's Marcus Evans. Oh, yeah. I was going for the memorable Joe Garner 1-1 draw. It was a... yeah, I've made a bit of an error there, haven't I?
Oh, man, of all the people to take you on...
I know, I've picked the wrong person here to try and take on football shirts. Oh, yeah, it's Marcus. Yeah, of course, it's Marcus Evans sponsorship. Yeah,
sorry. The magical Vegas second shirt.
You're right. Where it's blended into the colour and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. Well, I've gone for the memorable 1-1
draw. I'm not editing that out.
In January 2018 when Joe Garner scored in the last minute. Yeah, that's the one I went for. Yeah. Up there with your Marcus Stewart double shirt.
Yeah, same. Different shirts for different needs. You mentioned 5 goals. I mean, it's worth us pausing and reflecting back on a very chastening, I think that's probably the word I used at the time, afternoon against Bolton back in September. We've been down in League One for 3 seasons now, and that feels like a low ebb. That was a particularly bad day out. It did kind of regroup and refocus, and we went on that little bit of a rally under Cook. But as for Bolton, Seb, they kind of had a bit of a, you know, upward momentum at that point. And Ian Everett, we'll talk about him shortly, was maybe suggesting they're the best team in the division. Maybe they were briefly, because of late they've really fallen away, haven't they? But extenuating circumstances.
They have, yeah. Obviously, we quite often see this, don't we? Newly promoted sides kind of start really, really strongly. Then over time, they will naturally fall away. And that's kind of what's happened to them. Obviously, they absolutely battered us 5-2. It was the Walton and Edmondson debut game. And it was the game where Vincent Young got hooked really early on. He got booked, didn't he, really early?
Yeah,
and then he gave away a penalty. And then everyone thought he might get sent off. So he was hooked for tenacity. And that kind of sort of summed up his season at that stage. And I think that was the first game where I think I was starting to think that maybe this isn't going to work under Paul Cook. A little bit, as you say, we did refocus. I think it was the week later we went and beat Lincoln, or maybe 2 weeks later, I think it was. So we did look to focus, but that was the peak of their season. They have very, very much fallen away. They're currently sitting 18th in the league with 26 points, played 24 games, won 7, drawn 5, and lost 12. Scored 30 goals and conceded 37. Recent form isn't good at all. They've lost 4 and drawn 1 of their last 5 games. They were hit massively with postponements over the Christmas period. So their game against Wickham on Tuesday night, or was it Wednesday? Tuesday night was the first game they've played at home in 6 weeks. So they've got a lot of players sort of out rusty and not up to fully matched speed. So it's quite a good time to be playing them, in all honesty, because they've only won twice since the start of October. They were at home to Crewe and at home to Doncaster, both at the... I don't know what it's called now. Is it still called the University of Bolton Stadium, or is it the...
I think it is. Yep.
Yeah, I know it is the Reebok, so I'll probably refer to it as the Reebok throughout this. But only won twice there. Only won 2 games since the start of October, so they are on a really, really bad run of form. Obviously, we're absolutely buzzing with what's happened in our last 2 games, so they are really, really there for the taking.
Yeah, and there's lots of things that chime with Gillingham and the chat we were having last week. You know, the COVID situation, the injuries... but also there's a lack of luck. They've been unlucky, I think, quite a lot of the time as well. Obviously, we're playing away, so their home form is important. Talk to us about the home form, Seb, because also not a great story there.
No, 16th in the league with 16 points, played 11 games at home, won 4, drawn 4 and lost 3. So not as bad as their away form. Scored 16 goals and conceded 17. And like I say, before that Wickham loss, they hadn't played at home for 6 weeks. They lost 2-0 against Wickham on Tuesday night. They had the lion's share of possession, which I guess against Wickham you're going to expect, aren't you? They had 57% possession, 7 corners, 15 shots, but only 3 on target. Although they did hit the woodwork. We'll come on to their striking options later because they've had quite a few changes at the top end of the pitch. So it just struck me as a game where, you know, I guess we know what Wickham play like, and I guess you could sort of see how that was going to play out in terms of the long balls forward, and Bolton just couldn't cope with it despite dominating the play and having more efforts on goal.
Yeah, and I think they're guilty of conceding set pieces quite a lot, Bolton as well. The individual mistakes, I think, crop up quite a lot for them. Ian Evatt, very briefly, we talked, obviously, a lot of these teams now we're talking about for the second time.
Yeah.
But just very briefly on Ian Evatt, where he's been and how he's getting on.
He got the job, didn't he, by doing that outstanding work at Barrow. He won the National League with Barrow in 2019-20. So he took them over in the same league when Barrow went up to League Two and Bolton obviously came down. And that's when he took over. And he did really, really well in his first season there. Barrow were kind of mid-table in the National League, and then suddenly they won the league that the COVID sort of curtailed season. So he did really, really well. And that's how he got the Bolton job ultimately. He's been there since July 2020. So he's had the one season down in League Two winning the league. And then obviously this half season so far at League One level. He's played 83, won 36, drawn 16 and lost 31, which works out at 1.49 points per game. Obviously, that's very heavily weighted to the promotion winning season versus their struggles this year.
Yeah. And we're saying he was a former player of Paul Cook and definitely used some of his understanding of Paul Cook's tactics to exploit us in that 5-2 defeat earlier in the year. In terms of what to expect from them, I mean, you've got some stats here and I've been looking into them as well. I mean, the goal scored is not great, but they create a lot of chances. They've on average 14, just over 14 shots per game is the fourth best in the league at the moment, but only a fraction of those are on target. And a lot of them are outside the area. So it seems to me that, you know, I think they've got a fairly, their XG isn't too bad. But I think it's just the quality of the chances that they're creating. I think they shoot a lot from range. And I think of that 14 that I mentioned, nearly 6 are from outside the area. I just think there's possibly some desperation there.
Yeah.
And reliance on midfielders, perhaps, rather than strikers to get the goal. I mean,
yeah, very much so. Like I say, we'll come on to the attacking options they've had. You know, people have come in and people have gone out and stuff. They've scored 6 of their 100. They had 136 efforts on goal from outside the box and only scored 6 of them. So like you said, they absolutely love having a shot from range, but the conversion rate is very, very low. And like you say, it does kind of smell of a side that, you know, gets to the final third and starts to panic and just ends up just, you know, having a thwack at goal and just not getting the rewards.
Because they are a possession-based team of 58% on average.
I was surprised how high that was. Yeah, I was surprised how high that was. And their accuracy
as well.
Yeah, decent. 78.87% accuracy as well. So you've noted that's second to only MK Dons, who we've seen in the flesh, you know, absolutely love to dominate the ball and really look to move it around the pitch. So I was surprised that was so high. I guess you could sum off as a side that sort of, you know, keep possession in their half, look to break, certainly down the right-hand side, but then struggle when it goes into the final third.
Yeah, and I was doing a League One playoff scramble live broadcasty thing with Gab Sutton, who does a lot of EFL coverage online, and they had a MK Dons fan on, and he was saying MK Dons struggle with the low block, and it wouldn't surprise me if Bolton are similar, as in lots of possession, lots of sideways passing, allowing oppositions just to sit, get their shape, and just stifle them. It was similar to, do you remember Roy Hodgson's England?
Yeah.
Very similar in that you'd have a lot of the ball, the opposition would just stick 10 players behind and just clog up the back, you know, the defensive third, and they hadn't got a clue how to get in there. And you're kind of looking at the personnel in the Bolton team, and I wouldn't class as anyone in there who can pick a pass, who can thread a pass in there, nor a striker who is getting on the end of a through ball. So they can't break teams. So it is, as you say, it's possession based, or it's a quick counter-attack if they can, or it's a shot from range. So clearly maybe some dysfunction there on their attacking outlet. In terms of the defence, not great story there either.
No, 37 goals conceded, which works out 1.5 per game. Only kept 4 clean sheets all season. So 24 games, only 4 clean sheets. So this is a side that very, very much concedes goals. A good chunk of their goals are conceded on the counter-attack, 4 of them, which is the second highest in the division. And they've conceded more goals at home than away. And they've played 2 games more at the Reebok as well. The University of Bolton Stadium.
You can call it the Reebok.
They're the Reebok. They've played 2 games more at the Reebok. So, yeah, this is a game where we should very, very much be certainly getting chances and hopefully taking them.
And again, you say they flood people forward to try break teams down with possession, and then it would just take a couple of passes and they're caught up the field, aren't they? You kind of imagine that's going to be a problem for them there. Not great in the air either. Areas one on average is 15, and that's second worst in the division. Low on interceptions as well, on average 7 interceptions per game. It's the third worst in the league. There's just some really telling stats there that,
yeah,
at this level as well, you think are important. Chances created in and around the 18-yard box, clean sheets, interceptions, headers. Look at Wickham as kind of the antithesis of what this Bolton team is about, and look at the league table, I guess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
In terms of how they're set up, I think you've noted here it's a 4-2-3-1 most of the time. I think they've dabbled with a back three, but it's mostly a 4 at the back. And it wouldn't surprise us because, as we said...
School of Paul Cook.
Yeah. Four bits of transfer business, though, Seb.
Yeah, they've been quite busy in January so far, haven't they? So they've signed a guy called James Trafford this morning. He's quite highly rated from the Manchester City Academy. He's a goalkeeper, quite highly rated. They've had Joel Dixon start all games, I think, bar one this season. And I think it's Remy Matthews, I want to say, is the backup choice. So he's come in to add some competition in the goalkeeping front. And they signed this guy called Aaron Morley from Rochdale, who's very, very highly rated, apparently. So he's popped across from Rochdale to Bolton. He's sort of a number 8, so a central midfield player. One goal, 2 assists in 21 starts for Rochdale. But I guess they'll be looking to him to kind of add that quality in midfield and hopefully in the final third, make the killer pre-assist or the killer, the killer through balls and stuff to really sort of feed the strikers and the wide player. He's joined on a 3.5-year deal, which obviously is a decent length of contract for this division. So they must really see something in him that going forward they can obviously look to exploit. Dion Charles has come in from Accrington. He's the guy that had the contract dispute. Do you remember? We did the Accrington preview. Did the contract dispute. I think he played 1 or 2 games for Accrington or made a couple of appearances for them, but not played since September until he started against Wickham the other night. And they signed a guy called Marlon Fossey on loan from Fulham. Their regular right back, Gethin Jones, had a really bad injury for the last couple of months. The game against Wickham on Tuesday night was his first appearance after that injury. So they've had a bit of competition there as well. So no, certainly been very, very busy so far in January.
And maybe a bid in for another player as well, probably a striker for reasons that we'll explain shortly. So you mentioned Joel Dixon in goal. You mentioned right back will be likely getting Jones if he's fit.
It depends if you can play, yeah, if you can play two games in quick succession. If you can't, Marlon Fossey will obviously come straight in. The centre-backs will be Ricardo Santos. He's made 21 appearances so far this season. And then a younger guy called Will Amerson has played 9 appearances. Is that my first dodgy pronunciation of the evening?
Possibly.
Ameson?
I think it's Ameson, but anyway.
Okay, what did I say? Ameson, all right. Yeah. Will Ameson has made 9 appearances, started the last couple of games, so he might well get a start as well. And then Declan John, the left-back, 4 assists in 18 appearances. He's a player who likes to kind of get forward a little bit as well and try and contribute in the final third.
Yeah, I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to audit my own pronunciation now of Ameson. I think it is Ameson, but no, yeah, Will Ameson. We'll go with that. And certainly Declan John, yeah, that those assists are important from that left-back position. A few bits and pieces of cover. Alex Baptiste is possibly the name that people might recognise there. And then into midfield, Seb?
Yeah, Jordan Williams is the Kolskiewicz of the side. He's the defensive screen, doesn't really like to get forward much above the halfway line. He'll very much sit there and look to make the simple kind of short pass. He's got no goals, 2 assists in 20 appearances, so he'll be the deep-lying defensive option. And then Kieran Lee is the other central midfield option, 3 goals and 4 assists in 20 appearances. So he's maybe potentially one to look out for, but surely Aaron Morley will come in or either make his debut or certainly come off the bench, I would imagine.
Yeah, it might be that he... So George Thompson, you've got listed kind of here as well, has played 2. It might be that he comes in. Aaron Morley is number 10, perhaps. I think he can play.
Yeah, or you could look to push as well. But you could push Lee forward as well, couldn't you, instead? Because Thompson plays in the number 10 role, given the injuries they've had and a couple of departures they've had. But he's only got 1 goal and no assist in 8 appearances. So, he's not really made that position his own so far. The big injury is a guy called Josh Sheehan. He had 4 goals and 1 assist, but in November he had an ACL. So he's out for the season. So the injuries are kind of a running theme for Bolton. It ties in with their... They're sort of plummet down the table. You know, they've lost a lot of players. They lost Elias Kachunga for 12 weeks. I think that was this week or a couple of weeks ago. I think he dropped down from Huddersfield. I'm sure he's played in the Premier League at one point. So, a bit of quality there who's a bad injury. Lloyd Isgrove, I think, is another one that's injured. Bit of experience at this kind of level. So they are really, really suffering from injuries.
Sarkovic left as well.
He's one at Stockport. That was a strange one, wasn't it? That was, yeah, the National League obviously can sign people after the Football League window closes. And yeah, that was very much out of the blue because he was their captain and he captained them to the League Two title, made decent contributions. And suddenly, I know Stockport have got, bit of money and they're spending big, but that was a very strange kind of transfer at the time. And I looked into it and I couldn't really see much about why it happened, but I guess he's a big, big loss because he was the number 10. He kind of played in that number 10 role and really made it his own in the promotion winning season last year.
Yeah, well, Josh Sheehan, as you mentioned, it to me is the big loss there. I mentioned the lack of a player that can thread a through ball. He's certainly that player. And had a really good performance at Portman Road in the season as well. So you can see how that's had an impact. I mean, the wide players, one name we have to mention, unfortunately.
Dapo Afellan, yeah. He tore us to pieces.
Afellan, yeah.
Afellan. Did he score twice against us?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's got 7 goals for the season, 1 assist in 23 games. He plays down the left. He's very much the danger man. And it's a guy called Amadou Bakayoko on the right-hand side. You're smiling. Have I done it again? Bakayoko.
There you go.
Bakayoko on the right-hand side. He's obviously coming because Kachunga's been injured. So he's only made 11 appearances so far this season. 2 goals, 1 assist. So they like to try and get forward from wide positions. But Afellan is the one to watch out for, as we already know, having seen what he did to us in September.
Yeah, he was my player to watch, wasn't he? When I was starting curse players with greatness. Yeah. And I mean, Nathan Delfonso is there. He's kind of, he's a wide player or a striker. He's cover there. But I think that the lack of strength in depth or the quality options in reserve is an issue there. Obviously, Kachunga's absence is a big one. But if they lost Afellan as well, they'd be in trouble. And up front, I mean, the big departure here as well, Seb.
It's a surprise, isn't it? Owen Doyle, he was, I remember he was on loan at Bradford from Swindon or Swindon from Bradford and scored tons and tons of goals. Bolton obviously made him their marquee signing last year when they were down in winning the League Two title. He did well for them. And this year he played fairly regularly. He's played 21 appearances, scored 5 goals, but he's left the club to go to St. Patrick's Athletic back in Ireland. So I don't know if it's a homesickness kind of thing or the chance to, maybe fulfill a childhood dream and move back to, you know, his country of birth. I don't know, but it seemed a very strange transfer to allow to happen. They brought Deion Charles in, but, you know, he's, like I said earlier, not played since September, and he really is their only kind of forward option at the moment. I guess you alluded earlier, they might have a bid in for somebody, but that's definitely an area of the squad they're going to have to look to strengthen, because Doyle is a big loss, very experienced, both at this sort of level and at League Two level, and he was absolutely crucial to the way they played. So another really surprising transfer.
Yeah, I'm reading on about this Doyle transfer. I mean, Bolton put a brave face on it and kind of said, "Oh, it was a, you know, it's a good move for all parties." He's obviously 33, so he's getting on a bit, and it was kind of he wanted to finish his career back home in Ireland, which I guess makes sense.
But surely you don't do it mid-season, you know. Yeah, surely you let it ride out until the summer and then have a parting of the ways when he's hopefully, you know, if he's got a 1-in-4 rate so far this season, then you could be looking at another 3 or 4 goals between now and the end of the season, and that could be crucial to them. You know, they're sort of throwing all their hope on Deion Charles at this point.
And they said as well that he's going to act as their official scout in Ireland. So there you go. So he's got a job there with them scouting players. But yeah, you mentioned Deion Charles. I think it's likely that he'll keep his place in the team, because otherwise
there's nobody else really. They're up front. The up front is very, very limited. I think Delfonso could slot in there potentially, maybe, if they got really desperate. But Charles will certainly, it's certainly his shirt to lose at the moment unless they go out and sign somebody else.
Yep. So definitely some things to be positive about in respect of the form they're in, some of the issues with personnel. We kind of talked about our form last week, and I'm always a little bit apprehensive. I don't want to predict. I mean, we predicted wins, both of us, last week, I think, but I only went for a 1-0. I'm slightly apprehensive that there's a run of defeats at home, and to me, that has to end at some point. But how is your confidence levels? And what's your thinking of lineups?
Really confident, given how we're going in. You know, I think it'll be a 3-1. Personally, I think we might concede, but the attacking options we've got in the side and the way you had them playing against Gillingham leaves us with no fear whatsoever. I'm guessing in terms of a lineup, would you change anything? You know, presuming everyone's still fit, Walton will probably make his last appearance before they have to try and make it permanent or send him back, etc. But the rest of the team at the moment kind of picks itself, doesn't it? I guess the bench options might be upgraded a little bit if Harper or Edwards is recovered fully from COVID. They might make an appearance back on the bench in place of the likes of Jackson, maybe. But certainly I wouldn't be looking to really change much at all, if anything.
No, and a confident 3-1 prediction as well. I will go
very
for
much so.
I'm gonna go for a draw.
Really?
I just think that there's a point where such bad form has to end. I really do want to be hopeful. And maybe I'm playing in the kind of contrarian. I quite like to be proved wrong. I'll take one for the team. I'll predict a draw so we win, rather than predict a draw and then we don't win or something like that. I predict a win, we won't win. So that's my role here. You can be confident.
I'm confident. I think we're very much in the midst of a new manager bounce. So
nothing to be fearful of either.
No, I expect this to continue.
Sounds like McKenna has done his preparation as well, which is always encouraging too. You've got a very interesting fact of the week, so let's have that.
Is that going to make an appearance next season as well, or are we going to get rid of this feature and that video?
Well, it's up to you, really, because you're the one who has to find a fact.
Yeah, I might start repeating. No one listens anyway, so I'll just start repeating every single week. Bolton were one of the original 12 founding members of the Football League in 1888. It was very much a northwestern / West Midlands kind of league. There were no southern clubs involved in it whatsoever. It was the likes of Burnley were in it, Notts County, Bolton. They were the ones that went out and created it. And they've won the FA Cup 4 times in their history, not since the 50s, but they've never won the top league title, which I thought was quite interesting.
There you go. Interesting it is, yeah. There it is, fact of the week. I kind of feel like I need to bookend it with the music. Do love that music. Let's do some bits and pieces of housekeeping. Worth mentioning, as always, we appreciate the support of our partners at the Greyhound. If you are looking for a venue in Ipswich on a match day or a non-match day, as it might be this weekend, then do head down to the Greyhound and say hello to the lovely team down there and have a Adnams and some lovely food. And obviously, home match finally next week. So do head down there. We'll be bigging them up for a pre-match venue before Accrington next week. And as always, all the details and bits and pieces to find out what's going on, BlueMondayITFC.co.uk. I will be back and Seb will be back for the flagship show on Monday morning. It will go out. We'll record it Sunday night. And I think Craig is joining us because he's making the trip as well, isn't he?
Craig is venturing north of the wall as well, yeah.
Wow. Are you guys meeting up? I didn't think he got out of Essex, but...
Yeah, he gets out of Essex. I get out of Wales for the day.
Are you guys meeting up?
No plans to the moment, but I'll flick him a text when I arrive and see what pub he's into or whatever.
What bit of the... I'm trying to remember Bolton.
It's a retail park. It's surrounded by Frankie Benny's and Tesco's. Yeah, yeah. It's just off the motorway. So it's very much surrounded. There's a couple of pubs, I think. I was looking on the Away Days football website thing. There's a couple of pubs not too far away. So I'll park up at the retail park and I'll, flick a text and go and find him.
There you go. And if you bump into Seb, do say hello. He always likes to meet the general public. In terms of bits and pieces for the flagship show, we will be talking about Craig has got an exciting interview. We teased it on our Twitter earlier, but we'll give you more information on Sunday. And it's fair to say, Seb, an Ipswich Town legend.
Without doubt, yeah, absolutely. Don't want to give anything away, but yeah, absolutely, absolute legend.
So more on that on the flagship show as well. And that interview, the first part of it, will actually be out relatively shortly after the flagship as well. So keep a lookout on that. It's a two-parter as well. So plenty more information on that. Keep your eye on the flagship and keep your eye on Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk. Now on to my favourite bit of the show. And it goes without saying that I'm in a mard about Room 101. Here's the league table. There we know we don't care about that.
No, come on, let's give the people what they want. There it is. Look at it; it's beautiful. Yeah. Although Craig made a good point last night on the Q&A show, he is still technically the overall winner.
Yeah, I mean,
you're tied with Mikey now, aren't you?
All right. I mean,
well, I'm just pointing out. You know,
I'm trying to recall what other competitive event is decided on points per game, and what other sport has that as a
COVID
metric that
football
matters?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've got you, face it. You got too big for your boots. You tried to get rid of throw-ins, and ever since then it's been slowly going down.
It has been and I'm not particularly confident this week either. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second this week.
Okay. Which of the three that I'm not massively sure about should I go with? I am going to go, and I haven't fallen into this trap, but I kind of did dangle this out there in case I wanted to rely on it. The over-reliance on adjectives like legend and amazing to describe players who are not particularly legendary or amazing. It's possibly a criticism of just general language in 2022, but I think a lot of the time... And I can understand certainly younger supporters of Ipswich certainly lacking legends that they know. But is there really a legend at Ipswich Town since, you know, Burley's team in 0102, I was going to, maybe not, but, you know, the Burley era. Is there a legend?
Since the likes of Jim Magilton and Matt Holland, you mean?
I would say they are legends. But even then, are they legends in comparison to Beattie, Marino, Muren, Tyson, and Walk, you know. So I think it's a language thing. Maybe it's a bit desperate, but I quite like the idea that legends have statues.
Yeah, it should be reserved, shouldn't it, for the best of the best.
And it's the best of the best, exactly right. That's what a legend is to me. An excellent player, don't get me wrong, should be lauded and should be thanked, and we should be massively grateful. But to call them a legend, let's put legends up on a pedestal, literally, and let's talk everyone else in glowing terms.
Like an icon or something.
They're
instead
a cult
legend.
Hero, or they were the best. They were the best player of that era. Do you know what I mean? But it's got to be Robson era for me. And I think even now we're suggesting Burley era. There's not many. Yeah, it's tenuous.
No,
so legends are legends, not anything else. There you go.
Fair enough. Yeah, good shout. I have to say, I do kind of agree with that one. It's one of those ones where things just get banded around really easy, don't they? And they kind of stick, and they're not always applicable.
And we've agreed we've got a legend on the pod next week as well. So,
oh yeah, without doubt, he's a legend. Right, I'm going this week for the absolutely crap ITV and BBC live picks for the FA Cup third round. So we had eight games we're on in total. Swindon versus Man City was absolutely fine. But then after that, you start to look at it and they did like Hull against Everton, Millwall against Palace, West Ham against Leeds, which is a run-of-the-mill Premier League fixture, and then topped it off on the Monday night with Man United against Villa. The Forest-Arsenal game was very, very good, but that's the kind of thing you want to see in the FA Cup third round. I understand we live in a world of ratings and commercial revenue for advertising rates, that kind of thing, and that's why these kind of sides get chosen. But, you know, I also appreciate I'm looking at this with the benefit of hindsight, and no one knew that Cambridge were going to go to St James's Park and beat Newcastle 1-0, but that would have been a great game to have live, you know, on one of the channels. Boreham Wood against AFC Wimbledon, again, hindsight, Boreham Wood won, but again, that had the potential maybe for an upset, and that's what the FA Cup is all about. Luton against Harrogate, you know, a lot of goals scored in that game. Was it Barnsley 5, Barrow 4? Yeah. You know, there were some really, really amazing games in the third round, and all we get was the dross that you can pretty much watch. Well, you can watch Man United Villa twice a season on normal Sky. You can watch Leeds against West Ham twice, and it just struck me as, I know we're in a world of commercialism and that kind of thing, but to me, that should be a bit of a tradition, and the broadcasters should certainly look to pick maybe think without their commercial hats on, which I know will never happen. And for me, go for the ones which will interest fans the most and are more in keeping with the traditions of the third round.
Yeah, I agree. The Man United Villa tie, you're spot on there. A really lazy pick, but as you rightly say,
and also you're never going to get the full strength size either, are you? You know that if Man United are going to play Villa, it's going to be a mixture of the reserves and a couple of first teamers maybe looking to get back to full fitness. So you're not even getting the same kind of lineups that you would get in the regular Premier League meeting between the two.
But you're not even guaranteed goals in that game. No. Does that prove 1-0? I know there's a lot of VI. It was actually a relatively entertaining game, but as you say, the idea that I can see Man United Aston Villa on the telly most if I've got a Sky or a BT subscription is a pretty common fixture, isn't it? So it seems to me that you should try to allocate the non-league teams or the minnows against just out of default, because that's, you want the money to be
helps them
shared
exactly
around. You should and if a Premier League team is playing another Premier League team or even a Championship team, I kind of think you should exempt them from being shown on telly.
Unless it's a really, if it was, for example, Man City against Liverpool, I could understand why that kind of proper headline game would be one of the slots. That's fair enough. But some of the games, the games they picked were rubbish, and it's really unfair on the likes of Cambridge, Boreham Wood. Yeah, they won. They beat Reading 2-1, so that would have been a great shout. Again, I appreciate it with hindsight, all these are based on results that actually occurred. But it would have been great for a weekend of non-normal kind of live matches. It would have been great for a change, and there were some real shocks in there, and it would have really helped out the clubs. I was looking at the FA website for the matches that were picked, there was a caveat at the bottom saying they got 85 grand or something for appearing on live telly. What is 85 grand to Man United? Absolutely pointless, absolutely nothing. It's probably half of Ronaldo's wages for 2 days. That could make a big difference though to the likes of Cambridge, Boreham Wood, etc. Kidderminster, and like you said, that's what should be done, I believe.
Did you have you seen this on a bit of a tangent here? Have you seen this viral clip that went out last week? I think it was Barnsley Barrow. The guy, I think it was I forgot about this and haven't made any notes about it, so I don't know the names. I think the Barrow guy took a really long warm up and run up for a free kick.
Oh,
the
Barnsley
guy was filming it randomly, and the guy said, "Oh, I think he's effing Ronaldo," and then he strides up and smashes it in.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, that was great." Imagine that being on the telly.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Or the likes of, the Newcastle, Cambridge winning 1-0 at St James's Park. St James's Park was full. They had all the optimism of the takeover and Kieran Trippier's debut, and Cambridge go there. Ironside scores. Jack Lancaster has a goal disallowed. Yeah, that'd been a great game to have live, but I guess it is what it is. It's just sad.
Cynical. Yeah, it's a rare one where I think we agree with each other. So well done us. But you guys get to decide. So we'll put the poll out on Twitter accompanying the links for the show, and you can vote for Seb. And then this week, This time next week, we'll be doing another feature. But if you, if you have any other feedback on Room 101, do let us know. But it is on its last legs. At least, we'll give it a break.
We need a break. We need a break so things can happen in the real world of football.
We can
come back and talk to them, because I kind of figured that there'd be something happening every single week and we'd be spoiled for choice. But it turns out that the same kind of thing happened over and over again.
It is a real chore trying to find something. So
I think we've got the same list, haven't we? We've got the same website going down the list. It's like, 100 things I hate about modern football, and we're both kind of trying not to pick the same ones. So maybe time for a bit of a breather. We'll look at our bringing in the new feature, maybe start to revisit it in the spring, eh?
Yeah, so for maybe one of the last few times, at least for a while, here's the theme music once more. That is your lot. Seb, as always, thank you for your research, your insight, and along with many others on Saturday, safe journey up to Bolton. And if you are listening to this right now on your way to Bolton, safe travels, bring us back 3 points. And you'll be back along with Craig to talk about the match on the flagship show, which will be out on Monday morning. And we will do our usual post-match questions or observations tweet. So do respond to that. And as we said already, on flagship show, we will be talking about the legendary guest, our two-part interview with Craig has conducted. And I think that's probably about it, Seb. We also need to give a shout-out to our good friends at the Greyhound. Kindly support us on this show here. And do get down to the Greyhound whenever you can. And hopefully it won't be too long before the both of us are down at the Greyhound again, having a pre-match ghost ship. So there you are. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk for all the details on what's going on the pod. Seb, I will hand over to you for the final word.
Like you say, safe journey to everyone travelling up there. Let's keep the McKenna New Bounce going, and come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.